with worthless base people I see Amol and Kodavangar. Shani Matulawali said 700 years ago what the officials would become, and that their supporters, the defenders of the shrine and the Basijis, they would come to power and finally other things. But the very important point here is that we had a couple of informal small posts on Facebook. Go see what's going on, see what's happening on Instagram. The defenders of the shrine are all about lower body curses. Their way of looking at things is filthy, ex, sexy, ex, those kinds of girls. And some of them who are abroad here, they just keep copy-pasting things for us. It's completely obvious. This true lack of character and mental cheapness is obvious. These are a sieve. Right now, the government of Iran is sifting, sieving the idiot people from the real people. And this line has become completely clear for you and me. From the Quran, Rumi says, "We took the kernel and left the husk for the donkeys." Welcome to 42, my friend. Welcome to Restart, the most dangerous program in 700 years. I'm saying this so you know from the get-go that there's no difference at all. What I say in Shaskul Plus or Goodnight Iran, I repeat here, meaning it is certain. This is the absolute mother of Restart, and those who listen to Restart can, of course, choose not to download Goodnight Iran or Shaskul Plus from our Telegram channel, or just not listen to them at all. But those who are listening to Goodnight Iran and Shaskul Plus, in my opinion, must absolutely listen to the Restart programs. The only clear and direct path program, a single point from the most beautiful being in the universe called the perfect human. The defenders of the shrine didn't know a few things. Today I'm supposed to give a brief rundown to finish up the Valley of Independence. First of all, the defender of the shrine wasn't invented now. Defenders of the shrine have existed for the 8 or 10,000 years we look at in history, meaning when Alexander the Great of Macedon attacked too, in a way. He originally wanted to take the Avesta from the Kaaba of Zoroaster. This happened because of defenders of the shrine. The day the Crusades happened, I mean Alexander himself had attacked Iran on the orders of Byzantium and the Christian clerical mindset. But the defenders of the shrine, when Mahmud of Ghazni attacked India, it was for the defenders of the shrine. He boasted, "I am a defender of the shrine." The killing of Hussein ibn Ali, and today is Arba'in, was by the defenders of the shrine. In fact, one of the reasons they killed Hussein was they were saying, "We are defending the sanctuary of God," meaning the house of God, which he has insulted. The defender of the shrine is something governments have been putting in our minds for 8,000 years. It's like 4 or 5 minutes ago. And the interesting thing, which I want to explain very briefly and concisely, is that first, a martyr is someone who definitely sees the light of God. And in all of 100,000 years, we might not even have 100 martyrs. Even the mystics and Sufis, when you say the martyrdom of Fatima Zahra, they give you a sideways glance. I mean, Fatima Zahra was not martyred. The title of martyr and the conditions for it are very different. There are, besides the few people in existence like Zechariah who were martyred and a few other perfect humans, Sufis who were martyred. We have a second degree martyr who defends his country, and that too is a defense of his honor. If you understand the word itself, you'll get it very well. Defending honor in the middle of Syria, there is no defense of honor there. And the fact that you think because Bashar al-Assad is our friend we should go attack there, or that the shrine of Lady Zainab is there so we should go defend it, this yourself. I'm saying take your money. I'm telling you, you're not going to become a martyr on the other side of the world. That's all dingle and blue hingle and toot. Come on, gorgeous. At least take your money here, spend it like a king, at least improve the financial situation of your wife and kids. I'm saying this, my audience of defenders of the shrine, take some money, at least so your wife and kids don't become destitute and reliant on the Imam Khomeini Relief Foundation after something happens. Figure it out yourself, man, get the point. And don't equate yourselves with the martyrs of the imposed war, Iran-Iraq war. the martyrs of the world. In the world, they fought for their country, and this exists in many other countries, for their soil or their homeland or their religion. They defend it and are martyred. And by the way, where is Fatima Zahra's grave? Does Zainab even have a grave there? By the way, the grave of Imam Ali that you speak of, where is it? By the way, where is Jesus' house now? In which, as the Christians say, stable, or in which place did Mary give birth to her child? By the way, where are the graves of so many people, really? This is in the hands of the Sufis and mystics, meaning if Iran's oil runs out and the country turns to Sufism, it's enough for them to show with certainty where five graves are, and the nation of Iran will eat and sleep comfortably. Why do so many Christians come, so many tourists enter Iran for pilgrimage to those places? What do you think? Where do you think it is? The head of Hussein ibn Ali was moved 3 times while on the pulpit. The Basiji kid that you killed back then, they were defenders of the shrine, weren't they? Why had they gone? They were defenders of this shrine. One of Hussein ibn Ali's crimes was that he, a defender of the shrine, had abandoned the house of God for the sake of the shrine. He was an infidel. His dad was the same way. This doesn't happen in the time of Christ. Why? Because after the era of Christ ends, Peter is a fugitive. His mother and others are killed and buried, and not so much drama happened for him. The only period when some things became public after a perfect human was after Muhammad ibn Abdullah. In the year 31 Anno Hegirai, the Battle of Siffin takes place. Muawiyah, and it's a very important point for you to know the reasons behind this very Arba'in that you walk for. If you are a slave, by walking with a drop of love in your, I don't know, canteen, as you call it, a flask, then you carry it in your shroud and all that, I say, sir, let this Mr. Alam al-Hoda send his 10-year-old son, Mr. Mesbah send his 10-year-old son, this Mr. Makarem send his 10-year-old son, let the officials send their 10-year-old sons. We're not talking about their daughters, their sons. And I'll tell Satoshi to come here too. We'll even arrange a Quran reciter for them. But I promise Satoshi will go on foot once, which he did. Whoever, whichever Satoshi is forgiven, we don't know. What's the problem? Why do we run away when we reach the truth? Religion, my dear sir, my beauty, religion has become a ridiculous thing, fallen in the alley of simple idiot. This is not religion. Religion is very difficult. If you think you understand something with 2 drops of love and 4 marches, or you go sit at the pulpit of some morons and think they understand anything about religion, in the words of Iraj Mirza, the matter of these 2 beards will be settled on Judgment Day. Either your beard to my beard, or my beard to your beard. No, sir, religion is not like this. Here, if you want to pick up a girl, you need to have money, $500 in your pocket to eat. If you want to, I don't know, go to Las Vegas, you need $4,000, $2,000, $3,000 in your pocket. If you want to buy a house, it's like this. If you want to reach a position of power, you have to be able to kill people, you have to learn to play the game, look at this world, and then you'll see that world. That world is also difficult. You want to live for 25 billion years, enjoy yourself over there. You want to have fun? Well, it's hard. The beginning is hard. Religion can't be solved with these things, with these words. Muawiyah truly had a very luminous face. Look, Muawiyah cried 3 times. Once in the Battle of Siffin, twice during Friday prayers. Every time this man cried, everyone cried. A face more luminous than Shurai al-Qadi, who was the Chief Justice. Who the hell is this donkey Erdogan? Listen, man, Shurai al-Qadi, 7 countries are under his feet, under his command. The Chief Justice of 13 countries, his face was 1,000 times more luminous than Erdogan's. Just by seeing the face of Muawiyah of Shurai, people would cry. Every time he cried in the mosque, everyone cried. But what really happened at the Battle of Siffin, if you really look at history, you'll understand it beautifully. Not many years had passed since Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Then they published a book. Then they went to war. At the moment of battle, Muawiyah stood on this side with his army and gave a speech. Just when he was about to be defeated, he gave a speech. He came up and said, I want to read a letter from Ali ibn Abi Talib. Everyone said, read it. He said, He has sent a letter and written in his writings that I am the divider of heaven and hell. His army was laughing. He said, in the midst of Ali ibn Abi Talib's army, everyone was saying to each other, he said that heaven and hell are in my hands. The people didn't know, his own enemies, his own friends didn't know. He said, he has said, forget Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Cling to me, I am your savior. Muawiyah's army roared with laughter. What is this trash, these morons? What is he saying? And on the other side, Ali's companions were saying, what does this mean? You mean forget Muhammad? What about Muhammad? Muawiyah said, sir, he wasn't in the war with Iran. He didn't go to kill those infidel, classless, characterless Iranians. Wherever there is Muslim killing, Ali is there. Well, they saw he was right. He wasn't in that war. He wasn't with the infidels on the other side. He wasn't in Africa. He wasn't in any of those wars. He only killed Muslims. A commotion erupted in Ali's army. He said, no, now I want to say something. Should I? They said, Shiu, say it. He said, he says things that I'm ashamed to say. Oh, they said, say it. Oh, he said, Ali ibn Abi Talib says this book of their Quran is against him. It's related to Muhammad. It has nothing to do with me. This man has no belief in the Quran. Muawiyah's army started to cry, don't say it, for God's sake. Don't speak of the Quran. The defenders of the shrine on the other side cried. The enforcers of good and preventers of evil on that side, many of them on the other side, cried, don't say it, for your mother's sake, don't say it. You mean he has a problem with the Quran? And Muawiyah said, yes, he has a problem. We say, let's stop the killing. We should attack Iran, attack Japan, attack China. We are just killing each other. He has killed 20,000 Arabs so far. Stop the war. Ali gave the order to attack. Malik al-Ashtar was moving on the right flank, throwing the ball left and right, beheading people in the air. Any bearded prayer-reciting, prayer-marked person like the beards of Koshgoftar, he would swing his sword in the air, everyone's neck on the ground, blood spurting out. Muawiyah said, he's still attacking. From the other side, the people were like a concert with clapping and screaming. Over there it was dub, dub, dub. Everyone was upset. They said, what should we do? He said, to prove it to you, O Muslim nation, O my Basiji brothers, O believing men and women, today, he said, my soul. He said to the judiciary, go ahead. He said, raise the Qurans. The spears came up with Quran stuck on them. He said, O Ali, for the sake of this Quran, for the sake of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, stop the war. Enough Muslim killing. Let's go attack Iran. Let's go attack Japan. Enough war. Enough fratricide. The command was issued from Ali. Plunge your swords into the Qurans. Go and rip open the mouths of the Qurans hanging on these posts and spears, for the speaking Quran is me. Ali's companion said, sir, everything Muawiyah said is true. He's saying, go rip up the Quran. What is he saying? Muawiyah's army, in which there wasn't a single Jew, so it wasn't a war between Jews and Muslims, in which there wasn't a single Christian, so it wasn't a war between Christians and Muslims. It was a war between two insiders, Oristates. They put a sword to Ali's neck and said, look, Haji, we accept everything else, but we don't accept you cursing our mothers and fathers over the Quran. Dude, they wrote this after Muhammad, Haji, they wrote this after Muhammad, after Christ, they wrote this 25 years later. They said, stop talking bullshit, man. The Quran is the word of God, don't talk bullshit. Come on, is Abraham higher or the house of God? Abraham built the house of God with his feet, mixed mud and straw and built it. You prostrate to a house built by Abraham's hand. Abraham himself is higher than these things, higher than the house of God. They said, man, stop talking bullshit. It's the house of God. God is appointed in there. He said, God is in the heart of the believer. Stop talking bullshit. Stop talking bullshit. Don't listen. The defenders of the shrine stopped the war. These very people stopped it, so it stopped. That army, after the war stopped, Muawiyah performed a prayer of thanks. He performed a prayer that is unprecedented in history. From his luminous face, he began with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Whose army was this guy? A dead man? A Gnostic of God? Behjat, this guy who looks like... He's always crying, people cry. Ali fell in his tent, inside the tent. Hussein was the same in his battles? My dear sir, why do you keep going on the Arba'een march for me? Why do you keep making this moronic body of yours walk? It's better to sit and drink arak than to go without understanding and knowledge. Hussein was the same. Did a Christian attack Hussein? Number. There was only one Christian in that whole war, and he was just passing by. You've seen the movie about him. That Christian was also killed for Hussein's sake. In total, one Christian was killed, and it was because of Hussein. Did the Jews attack? Number, did the Zoroastrians kill us, as you claim? Number, who killed Hussein? The defenders of the shrine. They said, sir, his father was like that, and he's like this too. He himself abandoned the Hajj and came, abandoned the house of God and came. Hajj. Hussein said, sir, is the Hajj higher, or the one who established the Hajj? Is the house of God higher, or is Abraham higher? And nobody listened, and nobody listened. It's the same now. A defender of the shrine, a martyr is someone who is killed for God's sake, and that is the perfect human. And the discussion, just so you know, I posted two things so the people of Iran know how cheap you are. They don't know. I stuck my finger in the beehive and you bees swarmed out with obscene curses against women, children, the restarty kids, their mothers and families, ugly and wrong words, so many insults. Then I just wanted you to know that Amol and Khodavandgar are watching, so you understand Shah Nimatullah Wali's worthless base people now. The government itself has sifted. Tomorrow, when Sufism comes to power, this same mommy dearest or granny, this same Basaji kid whose father is beating people's daughters on the head, will fall at the feet of the Husseini sanctuary. I was wrong, forgive me. He'll fall at your feet, I was wrong, forgive me. This same mother of his cries, this same mother of his takes money, gets rice and eats it, this very one, his mother. But she doesn't know that this time it will be uprooted from the source. This time the roots will become beautiful. My beauty, cut. It is very important in this program that I explain to you to know that a martyr is someone whose license to be killed has definitely been issued by God. This, a martyr who has gone on anyone's order other than God's, is not a martyr, and there is no benefit in it. And in this program, I cannot lie. If I wanted to lie, by God, so many people right now want me to be introduced in this program as a Sufi, a perfect human. They pay a lot of money, the G millionaires here. This program isn't even mine. So the words were spoken directly. Many people had asked, because it's very important, sir, we've listened to your programs for 2 months now. How can we really see the perfect human? Let me give a small explanation on this too, before we move on to the Valley of Independence. Look, first, there are two issues. I said it at the beginning of the program, religion is very difficult. You have to spend just as much time on religion as you spend on a girl, just as much time as you spend on buying a house. If you spend that much time, you will reach it. Why? Because love is something that comes, not something that is learned like knowledge. Meaning, whether you are beside a Sufi or not, whoever you are with, the path to salvation in religion is only through yourself and emerges from within you. From episode 100 onwards, I'm going to give some other explanations. But for now, for you to know this much, it's that the moment you want to think about religion, you have to shake up your intellect. You have to see that your parents' religion was not the right religion. So who killed Hussein? It was those who followed their parents' religion. Who killed Christ? Those who followed their parents' religion. Afterwards, they went and stood by that wall, those Jews bobbing their heads when they crucified Christ. So you have to put aside your parents' religion. So you have to actually believe. Some hours early in the morning, whether you get up at 5:30 or 4 or 6, until about 45 minutes before we see the sun, get up from your spot, sit and think. And think that, where have I come from? What was the purpose of my coming? Where am I going in the end? You do not show me my home. I must think, and you must think too, both of us. When you wake up in the morning, if you think that now you've woken up day 1 and day 2, now it must come. It's not like that. Why? because you want to have a good life for billions of years after this. You want to understand the matter. Now, the cheapest version of it is that you want to chase girls in the next world and eat food and go to heaven and do those kinds of things, which is the cheapest level of that world. The cheapest level of that world is for you to be after food and drink and such, which isn't bad. Some people like it. He says, I'll sell it, no problem. Maybe I too don't deserve to see the valley of love and such. Maybe I am also among the dead who must struggle to sell something to be able to enter heaven. One can enter heaven, but not the heaven you think, but the heaven that exists, one can. Revelation from above is either not worth crying for, or it must make you cry. If you feel like crying now, that's another story. The bottom of your heart must want it. It must say, Sir, a beautiful being, someone, a Mahdi, a Hadi, an Imam of the age, a Christ, the connection between God and man can never be cut under any circumstances. If you think it's an injustice that God sent something 6,000 years ago and says he won't send it now, you should get up early in the morning and cry or sit and think, say, Sir, a being exists right now in the universe. He must show himself so I can see him. Now, if in a dream you see him in a dream, not just any old dream, he must come, you'll understand it perfectly. Firstly, the feeling and the scent it has in the dream, you just get it. It's indescribable. Indescribable. I understand it, and you will understand it too. You must sit and cry. No, sit and think. When you put your intellect to work, you might even cry, the moment your heart breaks, because here they buy the weary body and the broken heart. The moment your heart breaks, you understand that you have nothing to hold on to. وَاتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا and hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether means to cling to the divine rope, cling. For you to understand this, I have to take you up 15 floors, have someone kick you off, and then you see a rope. Then you'll understand clinging. Clinging means you go to save yourself from death, you grab onto this rope. This rope means they are like beads on a string, one after another, and for this reason, the Quran is necessary. Let's just assume the perfect human Muhammad doesn't need it at all, because the Quran or any book that Jesus gives, Moses gives, any word that you say is their spiritual state. When the next perfect human exists, the words of the previous perfect human are no longer necessary at all, unless the next perfect human deems it necessary, and everyone, he himself, doesn't need a book, because all the bookish, mental, and learnable knowledge is passed from the previous to the next. He doesn't need it at all. We go to books more when someone passes away, and they want to use it later, and the next one doesn't exist. The perfect human passes away from this world now because the perfect human doesn't die. I've said this before. He passes away. His body passes away. A second later, the next person is there. Why would he need a book? Whoever has a question, he says, the next person. The next person passes away, the next one. In less than a billionth of a second of their presence there, where the essence is distilled, then it begins. Maybe among us in this radio, for example, two of us, the kids, maybe they've understood this, maybe the rest haven't, and there's no time frame on it. You know why? Because they give you a quark. They give all the people of Earth a quark, a tiny particle. The perfect human gives it to them in the Valley of Quest. Some are like summer bananas. They grow in the summer. So you have to wait 8 months for the perfect human to come. There is no early or late. Some, like me, are weeds. They sprout up instantly. I'm giving examples. Some are like apples, some are like pears. For this reason, you shouldn't be in a hurry. This means truly, when you wake up in the morning, not to take your kid to work, to take your kid to school, to get up, not because you want to perform prayers, go to church, go to synagogue. No, you must. You must. You must. Because you can't even perform prayers. These things have nothing. When you get up, you must get up only for the love of that beautiful one, only. And when you've prepared your house and I invited you tonight and you didn't come, I invited you tomorrow night and you didn't come, I invited you the night after and you didn't come, and you get angry, it means you think you're very important. You shouldn't even get angry. It's your duty to get up. You're getting up for yourself. Yes, we invited you 3 times and you didn't come. Well, I didn't come. The 4th time, he will come. Then, in the Valley of Quest, you and I have no understanding. I have no understanding. You don't know. I'm an ignoramus. You don't know. It's not like the Sufi who is around the perfect human understands this matter. The Valley of Quest takes time. For some, it might be 1 night, for some 50 nights, for some 500 nights. It depends on what fruit is inside you. I don't know. I don't know if you'll become an apple or a pear. So you can't. No one can help with these things. Even if you're the son of a Sufi, you won't be saved unless that beautiful one wants it. It has no relation. Your direction, your thinking, you have to want this yourself and get up. And the day you get up for your heart, the day you get up with the intention of that beautiful one, you will surely find. Although for you kids who are restartees, whether you want it or not, unless you've really been just playing games, otherwise even right now maybe 3 or 4 of those individuals, this matter, maybe more, many for example have understood it by now, maybe 3 or 4 of those individuals in this short time know why the past is a very short time, because a love, this restart has been broadcast, the poor souls. If this restart had been broadcast in the old days, many would have truly understood the matter. The poor souls don't know. Just like right now when a Basiji woman, she said to the Basiji women, my husband is against it, but I'm just now understanding what's happened. I said, yes, this itself is a love that has been shown to me, shown to you, that this gets broadcast for an hour, and you understand the matter precisely. And if perhaps it had been broadcast for your father, I don't know. I don't know these things, nor do I interfere in them, or do I, and I don't know why it's being broadcast, but we know that in any case, a matter is supposed to. Actually, the biggest event of Shah Ni'matullah Wali's great prophecies could be this very broadcast of restart. This is one of them. Such a thing has never happened before. Someone broadcasting a program like Restart and saying a being named the perfect human. Never, never. Or, for example, the poems of Molavi and the Masnavi and so on with interpretations from the perspective that exists in this year. And in any case, finding the perfect human shakes up everything for you. It shakes up this world for you, and it shakes up that world for you. But it's hard. Religion is hard work. Believe me, these tears that Muslims have shed for 1400 years, I swear on the life of Hussein, on your life, on my own life, they have all gone to waste. Because with ridiculous crying, where you don't recognize the goals, the thought, the perfect human, haven't perceived the light of the perfect human, if I just keep crying, as long as I haven't understood the matter, it won't be solved with 4 rakats of prayer or 2 rakats of prayer and so on. Because it's also logical. It's logical. Why? Because the prostration you do and the prayer you perform, I said this last time, every word you are saying is to the perfect human. So you have to see the perfect human to say it, feel him to say it. Otherwise, how are you going to say, for example, Subhana Rabbil Azim wa bihamdi, as you say? How are you going to say this? You can't say it at all, because there is no God whose essence is visible, a God you can talk to. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim means, in the name of that beautiful one who is gracious and merciful. Muawiyah said these same things, and they put Ali, I'll read it again, and they hit. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, in the name of that beautiful, perfect human who is gracious and merciful, Maliki Yawmiddin. He also said these things about the Master of the Day of Judgment. Muawiyah also said these things, which is why they clashed with Ali. They said, he said, Ali says, I am the master of the day of judgment. Iyaka na'bud. I worship you. I prostrate to you, perfect human. I don't understand. The Kaaba and the idol house are but an excuse. The goal is you. The Kaaba and the idol house are but an excuse. I prostrate to you. Everyone prostrated to you. God has breathed into you. I don't even care about your blood. What do you say? Should I sit? Should I sit? Should I shut up? Should I shut up? Should I speak? Should I speak? What should I do? The goal is you. The Kaaba and the idol house are but an excuse. I prostrate to you. Iyaka nabudu. Excuse me. I worship you. Wa iyaka nasta'in. I ask for help from you alone. Ahdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Yourself. I mean, you're saying you see God in front of you, that you're talking such nonsense? Ridiculous. What do you see that you say, guide us to the straight path? Who are they? Which straight path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Those restartees, those whose valley, their quest has begun. Guide me to that path. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Not like this Basiji kid, a few moron defenders of the shrine who come after the people's wives and kids and sisters and mothers, hitting people on the head with batons, thinking they understand more, thinking their religion is more complete. He is a dishonorable bastard. My dear Hezbollahi sister, my beauty, many of whom I know will come back to the right path with this program. When you pass by a woman and tell her to observe her hijab properly or do such and such, do you think you are superior or are you doing it for money? What are you saying? So the essence of God is not visible. And God is seen only once, and His light is towards you, towards the universe. And this light isn't like you think, a light from the sun that hits you and me. It's not like that. Its light has very different dimensions. Rumi says this very poem of Molavi that we have read until now, in 50 years they will interpret it. The thought will come down, the thought will come down. Molavi says, or do you suppose that the words of the Masnavi, once you read them, you hear them for free? Or that the words of wisdom and hidden secrets enter the ear and mouth through mere glitter? They enter like fables, the husk in the end, not the kernel and the seeds. He says, even if you hear it, you don't understand. Molavi himself says it. He says, even by reading it, you won't understand. Husseini, why do we think we understand? Then you say again, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kul Huwallahu Ahad. Say the perfect human is one. He's beautiful, man, he's beautiful. Son, there isn't just one, the perfect human, yes. So the perfect human does not die. He doesn't sleep. Number, does he rest? Sir, what is this? What is this? Who is this? Molavi says, what is it? Can he not sleep? Happy are they who are perpetually in prayer. What does that mean? He doesn't go to the bathroom, he doesn't go to the toilet, he doesn't sneeze, he doesn't sleep. So either Molavi and Attar and Saadi and Baba Tahir and the others are lying, or you and I don't understand the matter. And those who are perpetually in prayer, the perfect human is perpetually in prayer. Which prayer? You and I think we bend over and straighten up. You and I, by God, see nothing but asses and crotches. I don't care about this. God, when we prostrate, look at the Friday prayer, we only see the guy's ass and his torn sock or clean sock. It stinks too. Hey, Molavi says when they see the perfect human, the guy thinks, for example, what is it? He says, or do you suppose that the face of the saints, we see it as it truly is? He says you, in some respects, even if you see the perfect human, what do you think? The nose, the dirt and dust and smoke, you don't see anything. Me, Husseini, what do you think? Do you really see anything? You don't. He says, you think you see the face of the perfect human, the saint, the guide, the master. No, all are words related only to that person. He says, you think you see him. Look, a person in front of you. You see a person. He is just now telling this to the restartees. He says, you think you see anything at all? You don't see anything either. Of 100,000 bodies, one body is a Sufi. The rest live in his shadow. Molavi says it. He says of 100,000 people who see the perfect human, who find him, one of them is a Sufi. Meaning for every 100,000 there is one Sufi. Everyone is under his shadow. Can he be found? He says a Sufi is rare. Is it something you can just talk about? And many other topics I wanted to say now, but because it was very important, because after 42 programs, they've been asking what we should do. The way is that only with the intention of that beautiful one. Here, they buy the broken-hearted, the weary-bodied. Your heart must break. This is your path to salvation. Meaning you must understand you are nothing in the universe. You are no one, and no one can save you. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. I only ask from you. No one can save me. That becomes their path of religion. Then when you see him, you believe, you have faith. Then you won't be knocked down by a couple of puffs of air or a couple of insults. Otherwise, you won't understand anything in a church. Every day it can, haven't all these Muslim kids become Christians? Haven't all these Christians become Jews? Haven't all these Jews become Zoroastrians? They didn't understand anything, so they converted. But here you see, this is the beginning of the Valley of Quest, my beauty, for us to enter. And in any case, we truly love everyone. Deep down, I personally am really like this. I love everyone. We truly don't intend to insult anyone. My hope for this program, again, hope is also ridiculous. It's not my business to be hopeful. This program is being broadcast. Anyway, dear friends and friends who work in the Basij, if you're going for the money, go eat. Eat your bread. Just remember not to give your heart. I explained it very clearly. Eat your bread. We are all bloodthirsty. All of us people on earth are bloodthirsty. We drank blood from our mother's womb. We are all murderers. Let me tell you the secret too. Then I'll say next week, which is Thursday at 10:30, let me tell you a secret so you understand. Look, all the people on earth are murderers. Sayyid Mohammed Hosseini, at a minimum, has killed 40,000 people. You have killed two. At a minimum, in past valleys you don't know, and you don't know the future valleys. We are stuck in the middle, you and I, understanding nothing. When you had to come into existence, 146,000 chromosomes and sperm go towards one of the mother's eggs so that you can become Hosseini, you killed the rest, you were unfair, you betrayed them. 146,270 die. They stay behind and die, and your mother allows only one to come in. If two get in, they become twins. And you enter. Why? You killed right there. That was a world you don't know, you don't remember yet. In that world, to reach the perfect human, you wrestled, you murdered. These are all directions that you're upset that Abraham jokingly killed his son. You killed 146,000 sperm to come out. The mother's egg, the filth that didn't let the others in, how much it betrayed. It closed the doors. It laid down fertilizer. It didn't let any other guy in. It let one come in. It gave it the fertilizer.
How? It showed it love. It told one of those sperm, it's okay for you to come in. It gave a good time to one of them. The rest died back there. One came in. You struggled so much to reach this foolish, virtual, dusty earth so that we may go higher and higher. My beauty. So we are all murderers. Then in mom's belly, they taught you bloodthirstiness. You were born a wolf. You don't remember. Now, God willing, next time in the next program, first we'll tell you about these things that you've passed and don't remember, so you know that through a machine and a lust and a ridiculous earthly love, and from the moment of your birth, you killed 140,000 and entered your mother's womb and did some things there, and your second Big Bang happened and many other things. Until next week, I entrust you to that beautiful face of the Iranian world. Beautiful. That look, what kind of seed Iranians had, thank God. And what intellect and knowledge there was that the perfect human is Iranian. I entrust myself and you this time to him. And in the hope of a day when all those kids who are fanatical about their religion and come and curse out of fanaticism and all that, I can kiss their hands. I will truly kiss their hands. If I can help in any way, wherever you are, I will kiss your hands. But unfortunately, it's about your seed, about your salvation, about your happiness. I can't help at all. Not me, nobody can. If your seed is sound, you will understand. If you're not a restartee, you won't understand. But if it's about kissing your hands and washing your hands and feet, I will wash them. But there will be no salvation for you through me or others. That beautiful one of the universe must cast a glance upon you. Those who, with a glance, turn dust into gold, might it be that they would cast a corner of their eye upon me and you or us? Farewell until next week. Restart 9:30 p.m. Tehran time Thursday. And on Saturday, Shah School Plus or Goodnight Iran will be presented to you. I love you, Daddy's beauty. I hope.